Alhamdulillah, we are all safe with our families after having a couple of days of seeing the hurricane pass us. The sheer power of a hurricane that lifts 6 feet of water from Tampa Bay in a reverse surge and causes Tampa Bay to be dry. From these phenomena of nature, we can try to understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa jalla wa ala. If this is the case of a single storm system, a single hurricane on this single planet, on this earth, then let's think about the magnitude of what Allah subhanahu said, وَمَا قَدَرَ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. If this is just a single storm, single hurricane on this tiny planet, which is a speck in the universe, then what about when Allah said, and they do not give proper reverence to Allah, the whole earth will be in His grip on the Day of Judgment. And the universe, the heavens, will be rolled up and folded by His right hand. Imagine that power, the impact. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qawi wal-mateen, the powerful, the strong. And understanding that Allah is powerful and strong, what does that do? Angels who understand that Allah is all powerful and strong, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu says that they fear their Lord who is above them. This fear comes from understanding the truth that Allah is the most powerful. He can turn nations upside down. He can destroy universes. And He can create many more beautiful universes, all from His power. This power, my dear brothers and sisters, which creates fear because of the truth of this power, how do we understand this fear of Allah as the angels have this fear? The angels don't sin. يَفَعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do what they are commanded. Why do they fear Allah subhanahu? This fear simply comes from the angels because they recognize the power of Allah subhanahu. And so for us, fearing Allah is an act of worship. Allah said, وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ, and then fear only me. But someone may ask a question. Usually when we fear something, we run away from it. How does the fear of Allah in Islam draw us closer to Allah subhanahu? And sometimes atheists, they mention the fear of Allah. If God is loving, how? Why does He want us to fear Him? Why is He saying, fear me? And so to understand this, number one, fear is an act of worship. Number two, fear of Allah draws us closer to Allah. How? We as human beings are wired to respond to rewards and punishment. We're all here today because we're hoping for rewards from Allah subhanahu. We saw during the hurricane there was this fear of looting. So when the laws could be absent, when the fear of being caught has been diminished, looting usually happens. Because we respond to rewards and punishment. We respond to hope and fear. So we're human beings that do more of what we will be rewarded for. And we will stay away from things that we are afraid of. So in this life, when Allah has created us in this life as a test
to see who will do good deeds.
There are things we must do, and there are things we must stay away from to pass this test. And these two elements, fear and hope, are tools for us to pass this test. So it is with hope that we do good deeds. We're hoping for rewards. It is out of the fear of the most powerful, the most strong, Allah subhanahu. It is out of the fear of His punishment and His justice that we stay away from doing that which is improper. And so from this fear of Allah and His punishment, from staying away from that which is immoral, we draw closer to Allah subhanahu. And so this is the crux of worship, to continuously hope for Allah's mercy and to continuously fear His punishment and His justice. And that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu. And there's one term in the Quran and the Hadith which embodies these two tools, hope and fear. It's called taqwa. So whenever you see taqwa mentioned in the Quran or the Hadith, it means to use these two tools. To hope for the mercy of Allah, as hope drives us and motivates us, and to fear Allah's punishment, as fear helps us to withhold and abstain. And this is why when you see great matters being talked about in the Quran, Allah mentions taqwa with it. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. When Allah told us to be concerned about the deeds that we're sending forth, the deeds that we have done for the hereafter, Allah mentions taqwa twice. O you who have believed, have the taqwa of Allah. Use fear and hope to get to this point. And see what your soul has sent forth for tomorrow. Tomorrow meaning the hereafter. And then Allah mentions taqwa again, twice in the same ayah. When it came to at-talaq, the matter of divorce, and when there are divorces, it's turbulent, it's emotional. People oppress, spouses oppress one another. They abuse each other's rights at times. And Surah At-Talaq, the chapter of divorce in the Quran, is short. It's only 2 pages. And in those 2 pages, there are 4 ayat. Back to back, when Allah is talking about the ahkam, the rules and regulations of divorce, He peppers it with taqwa again and again. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Short surah, but taqwa again and again. Why? Because in matters of divorce, it's hard to control the emotions and the soul. But Allah is mentioning taqwa here to hold on to the hope that your situation right now, no matter how difficult it is, have hope in Allah's mercy that it will be easier and get better. And your situation right now, no matter how angry or upset you may feel, you have no right to violate the right of this other person out of fear of Allah's justice and punishment, to take something that's not yours, to do something that's not proper. So Allah mentions, whoever has the taqwa of Allah, He will make for him a way out. And whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make his matters easy. And whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will forgive, expiate his sins, and magnify his reward. So the tool of taqwa, the elements of fear and hope, help us navigate through our life test and do that which is right. My dear brothers and sisters, throughout history, these elements of fear and hope have been used successfully. As Allah subhanahu has mentioned, the prophets, يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا, that they worship us out of fear and hope. Allah describes the believers that they abandon their beds at night to stand up to worship Allah out of fear and hope, because these two elements are powerful. They motivate you. When you're sleeping and the sleep is so comfortable, what is it that will get you out of bed at night to pray to Hajjud? Fear and hope will lift the body up to make that 2 rak'ah. It is these elements that throughout time the prophets and messengers and the righteous have used to pass this test. It's this secret to balance between fear and hope. And sometimes we go in extreme to one element in fear, and sometimes we go into extreme in hope, and we cause this misbalance and we create a misguidance. An example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about a man on his deathbed. He told his children, he told them that when I die, burn my body into ashes and then take my ashes and then go over the sea and scatter it in the wind. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises me, He will punish me because of His doings. This is extreme fear, lacking hope that Allah is all-forgiving. The other example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that a woman entered the hellfire because of a cat. She tied the cat, did not allow it to eat or run freely and eat from the vermin of the earth. Here is extreme lack of fear, extreme hope that Allah's ghafoor raheem, Allah's forgiving, no problem, everything's okay. But just because of that, actually entered the hellfire. So the secret to passing this life's test is understanding the balance of hope and fear, and you have to at times adjust the metrics. So if someone's at a deathbed, dying, they're already facing difficulty, this is not the time to tell them, Inna Allah shadeedul aqab, that Allah subhanahu is very severe in punishment. Because he's already facing the last moments of his or her life. But this is the time to adjust and balance. Since there is a lot more fear here, we increase the hope. And we mention about Allah being merciful and forgiving. And when there is good times, when we have wealth and food and luxury, this is the time to pick up the fear of Allah, because we tend in times of luxury to lack in worship and get relaxed and lazy and not come out to seek knowledge or worship Allah. This is the time to pick up the fear a little bit. So we are in constant balance between fear and hope. I ask Allah subhanahu to make us amongst those who master the metrics of balancing between fear and hope. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.